The Gospel according to John. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned. But whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. People of God, hear what the Spirit is saying.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's Trinity Sunday. Edward, thank you for that wonderful reading from that theologian. He's pointing his finger at me for you to see it. Wasn't that a great reading?
There'll be a test on it after the service.
Well, my job as a homilist is to explain the doctrine of the Trinity. And I thought I would have that wonderful theologian speak to that and to talk about it. Part of what we do with this is, and she mentions it a little bit, about how it can get twisted out of shape with it, because we use it and we use our creeds, and that's what I'm supposed to be talking about, is our creeds and how traditionally we confess the Trinity. And unfortunately, I'm not that good of a preacher. I researched the topic for the last number of weeks looking at it, and the more I looked at it, the more confused I got. And I remember back when I was a kid, my patron saint was St. Thomas Aquinas. And St. Thomas Aquinas was a great theologian of the church. And the story went that he was walking down along the Mediterranean Sea, the beach on the Mediterranean Sea, and way up in front, there was this little kid going back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth. Now, by the time St. Thomas got up there, he watched the kid, and the kid had a bucket, and he was dipping water out of the Mediterranean Sea. He'd run up, and he had a little bit of a hole that he dug, and he'd pour the water in, and he'd run back and get the bucket, and he'd go pour it in there. And St. Thomas said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm going to take Mediterranean Sea and put it in the hole I dug." And Thomas said, "You can't do that. Look how big the Mediterranean Sea is, and there's just this little hole you got." And the little kid said, "Well, neither are you going to be able to, with your small brain, understand what the Holy Trinity is." Thomas looked out at the sea and looked back, and the kid was gone. So that's the challenge. So I got to tell you something. I'm both a plagiarist today and a thief, because I've stolen some stuff, blending the ideas of Bishop Jack Spong and a doctorate student that he had, at Harvard, Catherine Ford, and a little bit of Pastor Don, who is a Lutheran minister. Now, going back to the creeds and that, I got to tell you, I haven't read or said the Nicene Creed or the Apostle Creed in years. And I can remember as a kid growing up, I would say them very frequently, part of Sunday service and part of when I would say the rosary. The concept of the Trinity is an ancient concept. It's an effort to understand the mystery of who God is. And as mysteries go, they're not supposed to be understood. And I grew up understanding that I'm always supposed to find answers, and that my church would give me answers. And they gave me answers, but they were always incomplete. It was like that little hole we're trying to take the Mediterranean Sea and pour it into. It was limited. In Bishop Jack Spong's New Christianity for a New World, in the chapter he calls Courage to Move into the Future, he talks about Catherine Ford, who was working on her Ministry of Divinity degree. And that's a degree that anybody who's going to be a mainline pastor or mainline minister needs to be. And that covers all the different churches. That's where. And she, like many women, were working on doing that. And she started out by one of her homilies she was had to give at the classes. And this is a homily that I'm taking from her. She painted the words of a town that was facing a major flood. And the rains came down relentlessly over and over such a long period of time that it became dangerous. And the people began to put sandbags up to protect their properties. The sandbags rose with the water, and the water rose faster than the sandbags. And the waters began to cover their fields. And the waters began to cover their wheat and ruin their wheat crops and their corn crops and their onion crops. And the people continued to look for safety inside their houses. And the water came up and covered the first floor. And they stood helplessly looking at their lives being destroyed before themselves. And they wanted to flee and to get out of there. But their roots were too deeply planted in their home. And so they were so attached to their farms and their town. And still the river began to float and go up. And they saw their family photographs floating off. They're symbols of their past. They curled up and floated away in the water. And they felt like they were losing the very meaning of their lives. And soon their sustenance was in danger. And the floodwaters were covering and began to seep into the ground and contaminated the groundwater. Their homes were becoming unlivable. If they stayed in that place, they would surely die. And yet something powerful, relentless inside them, continued to urge them to remain where they were. Rationally, they knew they had to leave, but emotionally, they were immobilized. She went on to say that they caught themselves in this symbolic flooding. And she said, it reminds me of something that I learned from the time I was a kid. I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. And like that flooded town, the place where she grew up, her church, became an unlivable place. She described the history of the creedal creeds, that they were designed by insiders for faith and to separate those who were not there. Creeds were border makers, she went on to say. They were fashioned to develop definitions. No Christian creed is a full statement of our faith. And she went on to say that the only Christian community's ecclesiastical response was, this was a response to arguments that they had. All the undebated issues, she said, have been left out of the creeds. There's no mention of love. There's no mention of the teachings of Jesus. There's no mention of the kingdom of God that prevent the bodies, their bodies and souls, and no mention of God being the ground of life. Creeds have fallen on us, she asserted, like the rain over the centuries. And they repeatedly and endlessly shaped our minds and our souls to the point where we cannot think of God outside of the boxes they created. They permeated our land and shaped our values and entered an intimate assumption drop by drop. She said our religion in many times had become someplace where we can't live. And she said that's why so many people are leaving the church. She says we've been drinking that Father God of Father God of our whole life. And she argued that the flood rendered our traditional dwelling place no longer habitable. And yet, this creed and its definitions arise so powerfully that our emotions want us to stay. She said, you cannot leave because if you leave, you'll be lost to wander. You must stay. And sometimes that price is too high. Because the creeds have given us, as she says, a God who caused the death of his son, a damnation for unbelievers, subordination of women, a bloody massacre in the Crusades, terror of judgment and wrath for homosexuals, justification of slavery, both spiritual and literal. And she went on to deliberate. The Father Almighty embodied a deity who chooses some children in the world and rejects others. He is a father who needs blood sacrifice, a father of wrath, a father of patriarchal marriage, a father of male ordination, a female submission, a father of heterosexual privilege, a father of literal spiritual slavery. She examined and dismissed those. Is unlivable. And then she said, and we've been trying and nibbling away at the outsides by using our language to be less male dominated. We've done some of that here. But she says, that's not enough. She went on to say, the real problem is our starting point. It's the belief of who God is, and that He's the Father of life. She said, God is life. Our creeds have made it impossible for us to continue to live. She said, it mirrors our dilemma. We need to see God, not as a person, not as a being, but as being itself. And she says that makes all the difference in the world. And I think that's part of what brings us to communities like this. We become to see that in a new way. And the church might be like a boat that's sinking in that flood. But we're talking about something that this little boat can't encompass. That we're looking at something that's much bigger, more welcoming. This larger vessel, I think we can call the body of Christ. That includes all people. That includes the whole universe. That's a mystery beyond our understanding or even to grasp. But it's a mystery that challenges us to live and to seek it out. I believe that's what the Federation of Christian Ministries is about. That its ministry and its mission is to develop inclusive ministry that welcomes all people. Now, the God we tried to capture in the creeds and the doctrine is just of the Trinity is just too small for who God is. God is not a person, not a being. It's being itself. And this God of being is the God who is life. I believe it's reflected in the rainbow. Look at the rainbows we have around here. This God who shines even in darkness and the struggles that are there, and that the light comes out, and promises that nothing can separate us from the being of who God is. Nothing can separate us, that we are all together. And the only thing that keeps us separate is when we think of God too small. God is the God who welcomes all people, no matter who you are and what you are. As believers in this, I believe that we are to be followers of Jesus. Sometimes the word Christian limits us. It excludes Muslims, excludes the Buddhists, and that's not who Jesus was. Jesus accepted all people. In the early church, they struggled with that, for those who are Gentiles or not, and they came to the understanding that all people are included in this. And that's what the Holy Trinity is about. This one who is not a person, but who is love. And so, to love God, as Jesus' creed was, to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That was his creed. He says, you and I, we experience that love in many and various ways. And the nature of love is who God is. And so maybe that whole thing is this Sunday that where we come to understand God who is being, that God is lover, God is beloved, and God is love. Isn't that Trinity? The lover, the beloved, and loved. That's what this community of ours is meant to be. That's what the whole, that all are called to be in that. And that, yeah, we might feel sometimes that we're a ship lost in the sea. But look what happened on the square yesterday. That was an event that included and welcomed everyone. It was a funny thing that there were, and Sue Sutton's not here, but Sue Sutton was one of the angels. And there were some people there who had signs condemning people to hell. And it was like 10 angels that had wings that went up. And they didn't harass them. They just protected us. And I think that's what God is about. To protect all of us, to love all of us, and challenges us to love everyone the same. So that we love that man who is condemning people on the microphone. We love those people because they are part of us too. As we go forth, let us take this as our creed. To do as Jesus calls us to do. Simply as that. Not to complicate it, but to make it in the simplest way. To love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul. That means loving the universe. That means loving nature. That means loving every people who you encounter. And to love your neighbor as yourself. And I think that's where we need to start. Is I need to love me. Because until I begin to love me, and to see that I am wonderful and that divine is in me because that's being. I don't have to look out there for God. God's in here. I don't have to look any place but to see the eyes of everyone in this room because that God is there. And I can even see God in that person who condemns me because God is love. I open up for your comments.